we thank you, Buena Vista. It's always a blessing just to remember the fact that I get to pastor a wonderful group of people, and I am blessed, and Heather is blessed, our family is blessed. You know, we've had a good ministry here just in the time we've been here. And I've got to know you all a lot over the years. You know, back when Brother Kaywood was here, you know, he and I were close friends, and I got to come and fill the pulpits for you then. And I've seen Buena Vista change in a lot of ways, ups and downs and kind of everything in between. And I really think that God is doing good things, and we're back on an upswing. And that takes you. It's not just me. It's not just my family. It takes you. This morning I want you to know that you are important. You're a vital role in the church. And one of the greatest things that you could do for me as your pastor is just love the Lord. Love Him and serve Him and be dedicated to Him and just be active in your church. And that would be one of the greatest gifts that you could ever possibly give me. This morning, as promised, I want to share with you a message as we look at three things. Who am I? Who I want to be? And what can I be? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. If you can find your place there in the reading of the Word of God, I'd ask if you would please stand with me. We give honor and reverence to the reading of His Word. Two verses this morning as Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus and said this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank You for the gift of life. We thank You for the gifts of grace and mercy. Lord, we thank You for the rain that You've provided for us just in the last few days. Lord, You know that we've been in such need of it, and You are so ample and always on time to provide us with what it is that You know we need. Lord, Father, I pray that this morning You help us to see and ask ourselves these questions of who am I? Lord, help us to see who that we want to be. Lord, I pray that You help us to see what we can be with You. Lord, I would pray this morning if there's somebody here who's never known You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, if there's somebody who's never begun a relationship with You, that Lord, today before it be everlasting too late, I pray that they would come and they would give their heart and their life to You and that they would be saved. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's Christian people here, Lord, who are struggling in their walk, struggling in their journey, Lord, I would pray today that they would make a determination, Lord, that they would have a desire to be like You, to be an imitator of You. Lord, Father, I just pray that this message speak boldly and loudly to our hearts, Lord. I pray that You but use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, Father, I pray for the leadership of Your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, I pray that You just preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. So, Lord, we just give it all to You this morning. We ask for You to lead, guide, and direct. It's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I think that question, who am I, is an important one. You know, I think it's a question that if we ask ourselves, truly ask ourselves, who am I think we would all have this perception of who we perceive ourselves to be. And I use that word in particular because I believe a lot of times when we ask ourselves that question, who am I, it's a lot about our perceptions. You know, it's not about who we really are, but it's about our perceptions. You know, we all seem to put forward who we want others to see us as, do we not? That's the truth and the reality. You know, when you're at home, you put yourself forward in one form and one fashion. When you're at work, you put yourself forward in another fashion. When you're with your friends, you put yourself forward in another fashion. When you're at church, you put yourself forward as somebody else. What is the real you? Who is the real you? What perception is it that you're putting forward and when? You know, I can tell you, I can promise you, the person that I am on Sunday mornings is not the person that I was 6 or 7 hours ago. That's the truth. At work, I can promise you that I am a different person. The way that I act, the way that I carry and handle myself, it's just different. That's just truth. That's just reality. A good example of that is about 8 hours ago, while at work, there were five young ladies who were members of a sorority who went to UK, and they went to a Halloween party, and while they were there, they ate marijuana cookies. Now, three of these young ladies had never done that before, and they ate way too much. And when they got back to campus, they all thought they were dying. Literally. There was vomit everywhere. They were so sick. Oh my goodness, I don't think I've ever seen people that sick before in all of my life. They thought they were dying. They thought their chest was going to just absolutely explode. You know, I can promise you that I'm not the same person in that situation that I am right now. Thank God. Amen? Amen. I can promise you that I'm totally different. And by the way, if any of you all are ever interested, some of you all have taken me up on that, on this offer, but if you're ever interested, you're always welcome to come and do a ride-along with me. You know, I've told people that before. A few people have taken it up. But if you would like to see me as I am at work, you can come and do that. If you're 18 years old, we can sign some forms and we'll throw you in the car and we'll let you see what it's like to be on live, you know, the police live show that they have on TV. Does anybody watch that show, by the way? Live PD, they call it. You know, we all have this perception of who we want to be. You know, I can tell you, if you watch that show, my perception of who I want to be as a policeman is that guy from Oklahoma. Anybody know which one I'm talking about? The trooper with the huge arms and he wears the medium shirts. You know, the arms are so large that they can't fit through the hole of the shirt. That's the guy that I want to be as a police officer. As a preacher, I've always said for years, if I could imitate or be likened unto any one person, it would be Dr. Charles Stanley. Anybody ever watch Dr. Charles Stanley? Yeah, if you've never, you need to. I don't know. Dr. Stanley's getting close to 80-something years old now. He's a pastor of Atlanta First Baptist. I'm sure he'll be ministering and preaching as long as he can. But if you've never taken the time to watch him, I encourage you to watch him. Probably one of God's greatest preachers still living. You know, we all have this perception of who we want to be. You know, I have that perception of a police officer as who I want to be. Have that perception of a pastor as who I want to be. But there's always the truth and the reality of who we really are. Amen? Who we want to be, but who we really are. You know, Paul tells the readers here to the church of Ephesus, he says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Who? As beloved children. We truly are His children. We truly are His creation. And as God has created us, He created us for a purpose. And Paul says, be that imitator of God. Be that imitator of Christ. And if you go and you look up the Greek translation of the word imitator, it literally means to mimic. Anybody had kids? Anybody? Yeah, some of y'all have kids. Any of your kids, as they were young, mimic you? Maybe when you were that age? Yeah. So if you look up the definition of that word mimic, it can mean to make a copy. Some of you all have kids that are exactly like you. I love the fact that my sister has a child who acts exactly like her. I think it's great. Now, Heather says she acts like me, but she really doesn't. She acts a lot like my sister. And I'm so glad my sister has a kid that's really a lot like her in a lot of ways. I think it's great because my sister, if you saw in those pictures as I was holding the two of them, they're twins, she was crying. She cried a lot. Every day. I'll never forget that as a kid growing up. I remember how much my sister cried and my brother was such a pleasant baby. But imitator, it means to mimic. Paul says that we should imitate or mimic God. So we ask that question, is it really possible? Is it really possible? When we ask ourselves, who am I? Is it possible that we could really, truly ever obtain anything being like God? Because God is so perfect. God is so holy. He is so righteous. How is it even possible for us to even fathom or think that we could be like Him or to be like Christ, a perfect Lamb, a perfect Savior? How could we ever begin to be like Him? How could we ever begin to mimic Him? But I tell you, if you ask yourself the question of who am I, you're always mimicking or attempting to be like somebody or something. But I encourage you, as your pastor, mimic God. Choose to be like Him. Don't be like me. Don't seek to be like me. You know, I tell you, as a pastor, I'd love to be like Charles Stanley. I'd love to have that preaching style. But in truth and in reality, I've got the style that God gave me. It's the one that He chose for me. It's the one that He gave me. And I really didn't have much of a choice in that. And I should be an imitator of what God wants me to be. We shouldn't seek out to be imitators of what man wants us to be. Choose to be what God wants us to be. Be that imitator of Him as beloved children. You know, as a child growing up, I can tell you that really my role model and my hero was my dad. You know, I chose as a child to try to mimic my father. And my father was a good man and is a good man. And I can tell you today that I am hugely in part the man that I am today because of what my father taught me growing up. And it's a good thing that we can mimic our moms and our dads, that we can look up to them. But moms and dads, parents, if you're here today, if you really want your children to mimic or imitate you as they grow up, you better be mimicking and imitating God. Amen? Because that's the only true way that they have any hope in this world, is being a mimicker and imitator of Him. Is it even possible? I tell you that it is. We ask ourselves the question of not only who am I, but we ask ourselves the question of who I want to be. When we ask ourselves that question, who I want to be, and we ask, is it possible that we could really even be like Christ? I tell you that it is possible that we can be more like Christ. How? How, preacher? How can we be like a holy God? How can we be like Christ, who is so perfect? How can we even begin to start that journey? I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down, how it's more possible that you can be more like Christ. I usually would encourage you not to have your phones out, but if you don't have something to write this down with, put this down in the notepad in your phone. Text it to yourself. Email it to yourself. I really don't care what you do, but if you do anything for me today, remember these things about how that you can choose to be more like Christ and be an imitator of Him. It's possible that we can be more like Christ first and foremost because we are changed. You see, Christ changes us. A relationship with Him, inviting Him into our heart and our life, it changes us for the better. You know, Paul once said, he said, we become a new creature and a new creation in Christ Jesus. You can be more like Christ. You can be an imitator, a mimicker of God. Why? Because Christ changes us. And He changes us from the inside out. It's essential for you to know and understand that in your relationship with God, change doesn't begin from the outside. Change has to actively begin in the inward man or woman. It has to begin right here in the heart. And know that Christ Jesus will change you for the better. I think of the Old Testament reference from the book of Ezekiel chapter 36. The book of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. It's coming, don't worry. John's working on it. Alright, I'll give you a minute. I don't have anywhere to be today. This is what my Sundays are all about, folks. Okay. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26, the author there shares and says, he says that the Lord will come in, and there it is, just in time. And he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You see, Christ totally changes us. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. He says He removes this heart of stone. Anybody ever know anybody that's just callous? We say, man, they're callous. We say, man, they got a heart of stone. Man, they are cold. You probably said that about somebody before. You might know somebody like that. Maybe somebody refers to you like that. I don't know. But the truth and the reality is, is there are some that are living in this world and they're just cold individuals. They're just cold people. It's hard to be an imitator of God with a heart of stone. It's hard to be an imitator of God when you're cold. It's hard to be an imitator of God with that old worldly spirit. But fear not, we can be more like Christ. We can be an imitator and a mimicker of Him. Why? Because He changes us. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. He removes that heart of stone and He gives us a heart of flesh. He gives us a heart that is true. He gives us a heart that beats. You know, I shared with you a few weeks ago, one of the saddest things that I see about us as people in society today is we've lost the ability to love one another. We've lost the ability to care for one another. We've lost the ability to truly care for our brothers and to look at somebody in need and have sympathy and empathy for them. You know, Paul said to the church of Ephesus, he says, be an imitator of God. He says, walk in love. Walk in God's love. And it's impossible to be like Christ without a good heart. That's just the truth. It's impossible to be like Christ without that new spirit that He gives us. We can be more like Him and we can be an imitator of Him. Why? Because He changes us. We can be more like Christ, not only because He changes us, but we can be more like Christ because He loved us. You know, you might think that this is silly or cliche, but love really does matter. Love really does matter. You give me two children, one child whom is loved and cared for, shown that they're loved by hugs and kisses, told that they're loved, cared for, given affection. You show me another child who has absolutely none of that. And you see how those two children will grow up to be affected emotionally, personally, psychologically. You're silly if you don't think that a child who is never told that it's loved or shown that it's loved or cared for as if it was loved will not be affected negatively by having never experienced any of those things. Love really does matter. Love really does matter. We are the beloved children of God. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children. We can be that imitator. We can be like Him. We can walk in love, not only because we're changed, but because He loves us. That change is able to happen because of His love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul wrote and said it this way. He says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. God shows His love for us. Christ shows His love for us in that even though while we were still sinners, even though before we even come to accept Him and acknowledge Him as Lord and His Savior, He still loves us and He was still willingly giving His life for us. He was still willing to go to the cross even though He knew that some would never love Him and that some would reject Him to the bitter end. Christ still loved us enough that He gave Himself for us. He paid the sin's penalty for those who would still yet reject Him. Christ loves us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, in His Episcopal, He said it this way. He says, so we have come to know and to believe that love that God has for us. God is love. And whosoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. He says in verse 19 of the same chapter, He says, we love because He first loved us. We're changed and we're different. We can be imitators and mimickers of God because He loves us. Because God is love. Because He first loved us. He loved us while we were still yet sinners. And when we imitate God, we have to imitate this kind of love. That means we have to love our enemies. That means we have to love those who would do aught against us. We have to love those who may not look upon us as friends or call us loved ones ourselves. In imitating God, we have to choose to love like Him. When somebody looks at us, somebody should say that person is the epitome of love. to love their neighbor, to love unconditionally. And man, that's a hard one sometimes, is it not? We can love those people that we love, right? We can love people who don't do bad things to us. We can love people who show us love in return. But can you love unconditionally like Christ did? If you're going to be an imitator of God, you've got to learn to love unconditionally. Meaning that you love somebody regardless of who they are, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of how rich or how poor that they are. You've got to love them because God loves them and because God first loved us. And that's hard to do sometimes. But as an imitator of God, as an imitator of Christ, we must love because He loved. We can be like Christ because of the change that He brings. But we can also be like Christ because He sets us an example. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people and one of those individuals who I'm a learner by the fact that I watch other people do things. Okay? If you tell me how to do something, I'm probably not going to be able to go back and do it just exactly as you explained it to me. If you write directions down for me, I'm a pretty good reader and I'm pretty good about comprehension, but when it comes to a lot of things, even if you write those directions down, I may or may not be able to visualize exactly what you're saying. But I can tell you this, if you show me how to do it, I can probably do it. That's just a lot about how I am as a learner. Very visual. I'm one of those people, if you show me how, if I watch you do it, I can probably do it. Well, Christ Jesus, He set forth an example, a very visual example. He showed His disciples how to love. He showed His disciples how to be different. He showed His disciples how to serve. He showed His disciples how that they could serve one another, love one another. I think about the example of the Last Supper as He washed their feet. He showed them by example. Christ gives us an example. We don't have to question how we can change, how we can be different. We don't have to wonder, how is it that I can be an imitator of God? He gives us the example and shows us and tells us exactly how we can be like Him. I think about the verse of Scriptures Christ spoke in John chapter 3, verse 15. He says that whosoever believes in Me shall have eternal life. That whosoever believes in Me shall have eternal life. He gave us this example that if you want to be like Me, all you've got to do is accept Me. All you've got to do is come and invite Me into your heart and into your life. And He sets forth and He gives us example. He doesn't just tell us how we can change. He doesn't just tell us how we can be different. But if we believe in Him, we'll have eternal life and He'll come into our heart and He will change us. Christ makes an example out of us. How many of you growing up were made an example out of? Anybody? A few. You know, if you had a real good mom and dad, they probably made an example out of you once or twice growing up. I think every one of us has been made an example out of. Christ gives the ultimate example through His life. He has the ability to change us, and He says, whosoever believes in Me shall have that eternal life. Whosoever believes in Me shall have that change. Whosoever believes in Me will be different. Who am I? What perception of you do you put forth in this world? Who do you really want to be? Is it possible to be like Christ? Can I really be that imitator of Him? Yes, absolutely. Why? Because He changes us. Because He loves us. Because He gives us the ultimate example. He makes us the example. But what can I really be? What can I really be? I tell you that in Christ Jesus, you can be anything. Amen? In Christ Jesus, you can be a devout servant. In Christ Jesus, you can be a preacher of the gospel, a Sunday school teacher, a leader, a worker, a follower. In Christ Jesus, you can be the greatest husband, the greatest wife, the greatest mother, the greatest father. In Christ Jesus, you can be anything. I think about it when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. What can you be? You can be absolutely the man and woman of God that He wants you to be. You see, in Christ Jesus, and I want you to note this, and I'll get ready to close and close quickly. What can you be in Christ Jesus, truly in Christ Jesus? You can be one who desires God rather than one who desires stuff. You see, Christ changes us in such a way that when we come to know Him, when we invite Him into our heart and our life, He changes us in such a way that our desires, our wants change. It's impossible to have Christ in your heart and not be different. It's impossible to have Christ in your heart and your priorities not be different. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Christ explained it this way. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. A lot of us go about life desiring a lot of different things. A lot of us go about life seeking after stuff, physical things. Anybody have any stuff? I have lots of stuff. We just started moving some stuff out of our house into a building. You think about that. Heather and I have so much stuff that we can't keep it all in our house, that we had to start putting some of that stuff in a building. Does anybody else have that problem? All right, thank God. I just hoping I wasn't alone in that. We all accumulate so much stuff. And where does it all come from? Amen? Where does it all come from? It's like one day you move into a house and then a month later you have all this stuff and you have no idea where all of it came from. So much stuff. But we seek after stuff, don't we? We want stuff. We want all kinds of things. Some of us have so much stuff we can't even use all the stuff. Amen? Some of us have so much stuff that we use it so little that 2 or 3 years down the road we sell that stuff for pennies on the dollar of what we paid for it. Anybody else do that? Yeah, amen. We're silly. Why? Because our priorities are mixed up. Truth of the matter. Our priorities are so mixed up. We desire stuff rather than we desire God. But you see, what can you be in Christ? In Christ, you don't have to be somebody who desires things and stuff. All those kinds of things in the world. You don't have to be like that anymore. Why? Because you can be truly a desirer of God. Put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. What can I be in Christ? You see, in Christ Jesus, you can be one who seeks the light rather than dark. I think about John chapter 8, verse 12, what Christ explained and shared. He says, and Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This world is filled with so much darkness. This world is filled with so much negativity. This world is filled with so much sin, so much temptation, so many terrible and bad things. Who can I be in Christ Jesus? I can tell you, you don't have to be somebody who walks in the darkness anymore. In Christ Jesus, you can be somebody who not only seeks after Him and desires Him with your whole heart, but you can also be that person who chooses to walk in the light when so many others choose to walk in the dark. When I was a kid growing up, you may not believe this, but when I was a kid growing up, I used to be mortified of the dark. Anybody else? Yeah. Maybe you're still scared of the dark as an adult. And it's kind of a flip side because now I could sleep in a cave. I actually prefer it, personally. When I go to bed, I like there to be no light. I work third shift and prefer it. I like being out at night in the dark. But when I was a kid, there was no way in this world you could convince me that there was anything good in the dark. Scared to death. Scared to death of the dark. There's a lot of things that can happen in the dark. And I can tell you from what I do for a living, a lot of things do happen in the dark. The dark is a scary place because you can't see what's there. In true darkness, there's a total inability to see. You know, in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament alike, we're given some descriptions of what hell is like. But one of the things that stuck out in my mind the most about the description of hell is the outermost darkness. Anybody ever remember hearing that in the Word of God? It says, and they were cast into the outermost darkness. I can tell you that that outermost darkness is the total removal of God. That's the outermost darkness. The total removal of God. The absence of God is darkness. I don't know about you, but in Christ Jesus, I don't want to be somebody who seeks out the dark. I want to be somebody who seeks out the light. Why? Because Christ is the light of the world, and those who follow Him do not walk in darkness because they have the light of life. What can I be in Christ Jesus? Not only am I a desirer of God, not only do I seek out the light, but we can also be one who seeks out the truth rather than lies. In the world today, there's a lot of people who don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to be associated with the truth. They don't want to be associated with anything about what God is or what His Word says. And I can tell you that God is the epitome of truth, and so is His Word. John chapter 8, verse 32, He says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In this verse, this reference of Scripture, Christ is literally speaking about Himself. Speaking about Himself, He says, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And later on, as Christ continued on in John chapter 14, verse 6, Christ expanded upon that as He spoke to His disciples. And Jesus says to them, He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Christ is the truth. The truth has the ability to set us free. Nobody comes to God unless you go by the truth and the true way. And that true way is Christ Jesus. You see, to be an imitator of Christ, we have to be one who seeks after the truth rather than lies. You want to be an imitator of Christ? You've got to seek after the light rather than darkness. You want to be an imitator of Christ? You've got to desire God rather than stuff and all the other things of this world. Christ has the ability to do that and make us different. Why? Because He changes us. Because He loves us. Because He sets the ultimate example. And by that ultimate example, if you choose Him, you can have everlasting life. Be more like Him. Don't be like me. Don't be like just mom or dad. Don't be like somebody that you see on TV. Be an imitator. Be a mimicker of Christ. As our praise and our worship team comes, if you're here and you've never known Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never invited Him into your heart and your life, it is impossible to be like somebody that you don't really know. You see, it's possible to be an imitator of mom and dad because as a child you grow up in their home and you see who they are and you know what they're really like. It's always funny to me how growing up a lot of people that I grew up with wanted to be like somebody famous. That was never my desire, but a lot of people that I grew up with wanted to be like somebody famous. Does anybody in here know anybody famous? Like really famous, like you know them one-on-one. You know them individually. You know who they are. You know what they believe. You know what they think. You know how they act. Anybody? Me neither. Me neither. How is it that we could try to act and be like somebody that we don't even really know? It's impossible to be an imitator and a mimicker of Christ, an imitator and a mimicker of God. We don't really know Him. We've never invited Him into our heart and our life. This morning, I'd love to share with you how that you might be saved. As we move from this time of preaching, we come to a time of response. If you've never known Christ, but you're here today and you know that you need to know Christ, would you not come and let me share with you how that you might be saved? Would you not come and invite Him into your heart and your life and let Him change you because of His love? Would you not come and experience eternal life and let Him make a true example from you? You come this morning. Maybe you're here as a follower. You know Christ. but the struggle has been so hard and so difficult. You're not where you need to be or where you want to be in your relationship with Him. You come. This altar is open to you, and I would love to pray with you or pray for you. However God is working on your heart this morning, you come and you respond. Dear Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come to a time now where we call upon Your people to be responsive to the Spirit and responsive to Your Word, Lord, I would ask that if there's anybody here, anybody who has never known You, I pray as they ask that question, who am I, that they would see that they are lost. I pray that as they ask that question, who they want to be, that they would say, I want to be more like Him. And that they would come this morning and they'd give their life to You, that they would be saved. Lord, help us to see that as followers of You, we can be whatever it is that You want us to be. That we can learn to desire and to love You more, that we can be seekers of the life, that we can be those who seek out the truth. Lord, help us to see that You are the truth. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit move. It's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.